Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Understanding the climate crisis can be a daunting task, depressing headlines, impenetrable statistics, and they can make the topic off-putting, but there are accessible and enjoyable ways of informing ourselves. And here to talk us through some of the best books on the topic, both for children and for adults, are Oisin Coughlan, Chief Executive of Friends of the Earth, and in our Waterford studio librarian, Tracy McEnany. Thank you both for being here today. Oisin, I'll start with you because you've picked some books that approach the topic from a number of different angles. I know you want to start with an Irish choice. This is Oisin McGann.
Yes, it's a book called A Short, Hopeful Guide to Climate Change by Oisin McGann, published by Little Island Books. And there aren't that many Irish books on climate change, so I wanted to start with this one. And it's actually aimed at young adults, but actually there's plenty in it for the general reader. And it goes through the kind of science and history of climate change back to the formation of planet Earth and our humans' discovery of fire and how that helped transform civilization all the way to the Industrial Revolution. But then the consequences now of the overuse of fossil fuels and the different sectors, and then what we can do about it. And it's just a chapter on global injustice, and it ends with chapters on solutions and reasons for hope. But it's really clearly written. It's a great primer for anyone who wants to understand the science and the challenges and the solutions. And it's great that it's Irish published, and it's just going for a reprint. So it's been selling steadily since
it sounds out. Like it's very accessible.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Which is a great plus for it. And Tracy, you've chosen to start with a couple of children's books because it can be a really complex issue to explain. But thankfully, there are some books aimed specifically at children which can help us.
Absolutely. And you have to be very careful of the terms you use when dealing with climate change to children. Do not use the planet is on fire because that'll freak the children out. So it's all about love people, love your environment, caring for animals and caring for the environment. Now, you're never too young to start talking about climate change. 2 years plus, we've got a Ladybird book. And the last page of the book is a picture of a big, happy planet. If everyone works hard and makes these small changes, but important changes, then I will be a very big, happy planet. You've got a picture book by about Greta's voice. This is what it's called, Greta's voice. It's about her life, her work, and it's very inspirational. And it's just one person can start a movement. Then you have another book, which I really like. It's from Chris Butterworth and illustrated by Lucia Giagotti. And it's How Does My Home Work? It explains how we get energy into our homes. And the last 10 pages, last page, gives us 10 ways to save energy. And how many of these things can you do? And a lot of children's books end with that. What can you do? What changes can you make? And one of the ones they mention is collect rainwater to water your plants. This is ideal for us living in Ireland.
Okay, I know she meant that there aren't many Irish books or Irish written books on the climate crisis, but you have found some from the Sustainable Energy Authority of Ireland, which are aimed at children.
Absolutely. There's the Climate SOS by this is by Lucinda Jacob and illustrated by Alan Nolan. And you've also got the Guzzlers Party, Learn How to Save Energy. Now, if this is in Irish and in English, it's you can get this through your local library, and of course membership is free, but you can also go into the seai.ie website and you can download the book today, and they also have a workshop there with the illustrator, so it's lovely.
Okay, now Oisin, your next choice. We're growing up here, we're moving on, and we're going to a more politically focused book. This is The Future We Choose, which you have there.
Yeah, this is called The Stubborn Optimist's Guide to the Climate Crisis, which is what I like. It's written by Cristina Figueres, who's the former head of the UN Convention on Climate and led the negotiations for the Paris Agreement, and her right-hand man, a guy called Tom Rivett Carnac. And I like it because it's about what comes next, what comes after the Paris Agreement. And it paints two futures, one where we've done the work of cutting emissions and what 2050 looks like then, and one where we haven't and the kind of the disaster that would be. But then it takes a really broad approach to what that means, starting with like psychology and mindsets, moving from a psychology of doom to optimism, of scarcity to abundance, and collaboration from competition to collaboration, and from extraction to regeneration. So that's really interesting for someone who's a political negotiator, this is the way she's come at it. And then it goes through 10 actions. And what I like about those is that some of them are pretty obvious, like moving beyond fossil fuels, but also includes gender equality and acting as a citizen, not as a consumer. But it's well written in that it's written for the individual reader, but it makes the link to the bigger system changes we need. It's not putting all the responsibility back on the individual. It's situating the individual in their society. society and in their polity. And it's just really good. I like particularly the stubborn optimism part, because it's, and saying that's a choice, not just a reaction to reality. It's a determination to act and to choose our future. And it's well written.
Okay, so that is called The Future We Choose.
Yes.
With the subtitle of The Stubborn Optimist's Guide to the Climate Crisis. The next one that you have in front of you, called Warmth. I know you really like this book.
Yeah, this is the most
you?
Powerful book I've read on climate change. And I was given it as a Christmas present, and I wouldn't normally read this with the climate books as my Christmas reading. But it's written by...
People will be surprised to hear that.
a 30-year-old US climate activist who was involved in the campaign for climate law in New York State. But if you want to understand why people under 40 care about climate change so much and how, read this. It is such a powerful memoir. It's really like, it's about facing grief and being an activist, and also resilience and the community of people working on these issues and how they understand the world. And it's just so well written. I mean, you will. I loved it, but it also will probably make you cry. Mm-hmm. It's very powerful.
Why? Because it is so emotionally impactful for him.
Yes,
his involvement
it's about
in
like, because even like I'm a generation older than this, so for him, he sees his future and the future of his generation as being determined by whether we face up to this crisis. And in fact, he calls it the problem the whole way through. He doesn't even name it as climate. And it's at times so overwhelming. And the actions that they as activists are taking don't seem adequate, never mind what individuals or society or politics are doing. But it's really just for the quality of the writing and the quality of the insight and the broad range of his hinterland. It's not just about, you know, how they did campaign actions. It's a much broader psychological and societal view of what climate change means for all of us. But it's written from his perspective.
And a memoir from a 30-year-old in this instance, though, is justified because it is of that generation.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, Tracy, then to come back to you, and we move on to Hope Jones. Would you say this is a fictional version of Greta Thunberg?
This is yes, you could say that actually. It's aimed at 9 years plus, and it's by Josh Lacey, and it's all about Hope Jones won't eat meat and Hope Jones saves the world. But I have to go back to Oisín's book Warmth. We got the list from Oisín, so we have all the books in the library except the book Warmth, but it is on order, Oisín, so it'll be dropping on our shelves fairly soon.
There you go now. Yeah. You're influencing the library list.
Exactly, yeah. But climate change, it's all about inspiring. And I was listening to No One Is Too Small to Make a Difference. This is Greta Thunberg's, all her speeches. I was listening to it on Borough Box. It's only an hour and 15 minutes long. It's aimed at young adults and adults, but it's very, very popular with young adults. And then I was listening to Chelsea Clinton, and she has It's Your World, Get Informed, Get Inspired and Get Going. This is a great book because it's all about climate change, poverty, gender equality, and this book is about everybody can make a difference, and everybody's important, and everybody's equal. That's exactly how we should be living our lives.
Okay, and is that for teenagers, or is it written for young adults or adults?
It's more for young adults, yes.
Okay, and Borrow Box is the library's borrowing service, isn't it?
Yeah, and also someone came in the other day and they had a tenner in their hand, and they said, how much is it to join? And it's absolutely free, free, free.
All right, just like just about everything at the library.
Exactly.
Now, Oisín, you have Empty House there. This is a little bit different, is
By
it?
By the way, we sent a copy of Greta Thunberg's speeches to every member of the Dáil after the election in 2020, because it's such a small book and it's such a powerful read. So I'd recommend that for everybody. And Borrow Box is a fantastic asset. Empty House is a compilation of poetry and prose on the climate crisis, edited by Alice Kinsella and Nessa O'Mahony, again Irish, only a couple of years ago. And it's a mixture of poems and prose and reflections. And it's just really good. If you want to step back, I mean, we're going to need all of humanity's gifts and talents to both process the scale of the challenge we face and and as we navigate our way through it. So it's good not only to be reading science books or you know, political tracts, but to just stand back and reflect on our relationship with nature and how we mend that in order to save our own life support system.
We need the artists and the poets too, is what you're saying.
As Naomi Klein puts it, we need everybody to change everything.
And the activists, how to blow up a pipeline.
This is a provocative title, but actually and I'm surprised to hear that this was already in the library, but it's much more than a provocative title. It's a fascinating exploration of why the climate movement has been so slow to use some of the militant tactics that, like the anti-slavery movement or the anti-apartheid movement or the suffragettes used. I mean, we lionized the suffragettes, and they were arsonists. They destroyed property. They broke windows down Oxford Street, not even related to their cause, just to draw attention when the system wasn't paying attention to their needs. And so it was explored why the climate movement has been so slow, and basically asking, how do you expect to defeat the fossil fuel industry industry, the most powerful, richest industry the world's ever seen. How do you expect to defeat them with just sort of polite letters to TDs or to parliamentarians? So it's a provocative read, but well worth it.
Okay, now in the last few seconds that we have, Tracy, I just want you to mention that you went, I know, to some experts in mm-hmm. climate change and you asked them for their recommendations. What came out on top?
What came out on top is Professor Peter Lynch from UCD suggested All We Can Save. This is an anthology of essays, which is absolutely brilliant. 60 different women. It's on Borough Box as well. You've got Grainne Kennedy, Climate Action Coordinator. She actually recommended one of Oisín's books, How to Save Your Planet, One Object at a Time by Dr. Tara Shine. That's an absolutely fantastic book and be great out Christmas present as well. And then you also had Michael Kelly from the GIY Centre here in Waterford, the headquarters, and he actually suggested Wilding by Elizabeth Tree. And this is all about the Knepp project in Sussex, about rewilding 3,500-acre estate. But definitely have a look at that, knepp.co.uk/home. Fantastic.
OK, and listen, you both have a list of suggestions. We're going to put them on the website. They'll be up there today, rte.ie/todayCB. A really extensive list, both from Tracy McEnany at the Waterford Library and also Oisín Coughlan from Friends of the Earth. All of your choices are there. Thank you so much for doing that for us. Much appreciated. And a reminder that you can listen back to that item online and to all of our shows by going to rte.ie/podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts from. That's it for today. Thank you for listening. Today's programme was produced by the series producer Alistair McConnell. Emma Cawley was our researcher today. Louise Kerr-Ross is our broadcast coordinator and Damien Chanel was on sound. Now it's 12 midday. Over to Ronan Collins.